Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Front End Planning Guru. I am Liam, and with me today is Dr. Gibson, with 40 years of experience in the industry and 30 years of research in front end planning. He is our guru today. Dr. Gibson, welcome back.
Hi, Liam.
So in the last episode, we spoke about renovation projects and the special challenges they face compared to new projects. One of the issues that you mentioned was shutdowns, and I know that we have a tool for managing shutdowns and turnarounds. But first, let me ask this question. What are shutdowns and turnarounds?
Yeah, thanks, Liam. That's a really good question. I think, number one, a shutdown turnaround is a subset of a renovation project. And generally, it's a project that will take an existing facility and for whatever reason will shut all of the systems down and do major maintenance and construction and then bring it back up for reuse at a later time. This is done a lot in the industrial arena with manufacturing facilities, power plants, refineries, chemical plants, where the facility runs for a period of time, and then it's known that we need to turn it down and actually do major maintenance. And usually during that major maintenance sequence, which may be cleaning out clinkers out of a boiler, or excuse me, out of a furnace, doing, you know, repairing any leaks that we find and so on and so forth, we also will add in additional construction projects, maybe to improve the throughput yield or make it more efficient or things like that. Sometimes we actually have to take major components out and rebuild them. For instance, maybe boiler pipes in a power plant. And so it's a unique type of project, but it's not just unique to industrial work. It's also done quite a bit with other types of construction as well. For instance, we hear the term TIP or tenant improvement project, where we'll take down an office building or parts of an office building and completely rework that and then rent it out maybe for additional revenue and so on and so forth. We see that with highway projects where we just shut the entire highway down and rebuild it and then put it back into service. You also may hear another acronym. I'm going to call it STO or STOs, but a lot of people call this TARS, turnarounds, and we'll see that as well. So what's unique about them? Well, they are unique because they many times consist of a very time constrained situation. The longer we're offline, the less revenue comes in. They many times have spatial constraints because we're working in an existing facility. We don't have a lot of room to spread out. We're working sometimes next to things that are continuing to operate. So there are safety concerns, as you can imagine, in that situation. But the big thing is that usually we're time constrained because there's revenue that's not being gathered at the same time. For instance, if we turn or do a shutdown turnaround of a power plant, we may have revenues each day of $3, $4, or $5 million. And for every day that we don't operate, that's $3, $4, or $5 million that we don't have coming in the door. So it's an interesting subset. I think the other thing that's very unique about it is it's almost like a program management, not project management, because generally there are many functions happening at the same time. We may have several contractors on site and also our maintenance people, and they're doing all kinds of different tasks. So we have to be really careful about how they interact and how that piece all fits together. If only one of those projects is not very well planned and has some major issue, it can affect everyone else and also affect the delivery date. So they're very unique.
Yeah, obviously. The fact that, you know, a lot of projects these days, especially in cities or places that have an older infrastructure, are usually renovation, makes them very important. So now, could you explain on what are the unique challenges that are presented by shutdowns and turnarounds, and why do we need to manage these to begin with?
Yeah, we did a study on these several years ago, and I mentioned a few of the issues earlier in this podcast. But you know, first of all, I think a big unique issue is alignment, trying to align the different individuals and entities that are actually involved on the site, because you have a spatial constraint, and sometimes you may have more than one contractor working on the same area. So you have to be really careful about actually scheduling that. Many of these projects actually go to the detail of scheduling things down to the nearest hour on their detailed work schedules. So alignment's really important. Safety is really important. I mentioned that before, you know, in that we're working many times in an existing facility and also adjacent to other individuals who are there operating. So they're not even involved in the process. So we have to be careful. And then certainly, you know, given that we're working from heights and other things, it's an issue. Contracting strategies are very different. Many times we bring in multiple contracts, and then as the owner organization has to actually manage the interfaces between those different contractors. Even in a renovation of a building, you know, if you've got a mechanical, electrical, plumbing contractor, an electrical contractor, you're doing your finishes and so on and so forth, you have to coordinate all of those. And a lot of times we don't bring a general contractor in to do that. We do that ourselves. Availability of resources, you would think that would be an issue, not be an issue here, or as much of an issue or unique, but the reality of it is we may have one crane and every contractor has to use that crane. So how do we prioritize that? Another resource is obviously space. How do we allocate space for laying down of materials and so on and so forth? And because we're trying to get this done in a very quick manner, usually we want to pre-supply or group our materials ahead of time so that material availability does not hamper us during the shutdown turnaround. Logistics, obviously a lot of logistical issues. With raw materials, for instance, if we're shutting a plant down, what do we do with the raw materials? Do we have those available when we bring the facility back up? You know, as I mentioned, space allocation. I think, you know, fixed resources. If we're in a remote location doing a shutdown turnaround, do we have the contractor availabilities? How do we control the work zone? Getting people in and out of our plant site or in and out of the building without interfacing with others. How do we lock out and tag out things so that we make sure that we don't have any catastrophic problems? That can be an elevator, that can be a pump or a vessel or whatever. You know, the site condition is sometimes an issue because if you think about it, this plant or this facility has been working and operating for a long time. It's very difficult to get in and find out what are the existing conditions behind walls, underneath foundations, inside of vessels. So sometimes we find things when we get in that we hadn't anticipated. And so we have to be able to handle that unplanned or discovery work in a manner. So we have to have processes in place with that. We have to be able to handle the environment. We have to know what our permit requirements are. We have security issues because we're opening things up differently than we have before. We have to be a traffic cop. We have to communicate to everyone, not only just the contractors and the owner organization, but all the contractors between themselves and also our existing operations personnel on site. We have to have a communication strategy. We have to be able to do project controls and a lot of, and as I said before, usually these are schedule constrained projects. So we'll be very careful on our scheduling. And we have to integrate the schedules of all the contractors together so that we understand that they don't step on each other as we go through. And then certainly cost is important, especially if we have unplanned work. How are we going to approve any new work that we would have? And how do we keep scope from creeping during a shutdown turnaround? Sometimes it's inadvertent. We don't have a choice, but sometimes people want to add things in during a shutdown turnaround that we really don't need and they don't add a lot of value. And then how do we do our procurements? And then the big part is how do we bring it back online? I mean, how do you commission and turn the facility over in a safe manner to ensure that we meet all of our warranty needs and make it a reality? So, Liam, I mean, there's a lot in this. And literally, these are unique. They're like a program. a program of projects that also include maintenance activities. The money comes from different sources. It can be capital money and also operational funds. The people who do this, they find out and they learn from their lessons to get good, but it's always a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, as we spoke about this, so many things, just so many questions that happened in my mind, and I realized that, yeah, I mean, availability of resources. I never thought that would be an issue, and perhaps that's why we've got a tool for this.
Yeah, which is really exciting. Yeah, we developed a tool called the Shutdown Turnaround Alignment Review, or STAR tool, and I'll talk about it in a future episode. And it's a pretty detailed map of how to make sure that all this works together.
Absolutely. I'm very excited for that, actually. The next episode will be an exciting one. But till then, thank you so much, Dr. Gibson, for sharing this with us. We will have you with us in the future episodes and talks. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedbacks, please connect with us. This is Liam from the Final Planning Guru at ASU. Have a lovely day.